E.W. Jackson, candidate for U.S. Senate in Virginia.
What's your 15 to 30 second pitch to voters as to why they should pick you in the primary?
Well, I'm the only candidate who understands that Virginia is the most important state in the Union in the founding of this nation, and that our country is in a time of crisis. And I really believe that Virginia needs to lead again. And it takes someone who understands Virginia. My family goes back over 220 years in Virginia. I love this Commonwealth. Our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration all came from Virginians. And I believe that it's time for Virginia to lead again. And I believe that Tim Kaine is incapable of providing that kind of leadership. And I am.
What would be your most important issue or two or three were you to become senator that you could, you know, make a difference on Capitol Hill?
Well, first, I believe that the president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump, is leading this country in the right direction, that our economy has rebounded tremendously, that he is securing our borders, that he is beefing up our national security, rebuilding our military, that he's lowering taxes, lowering regulations. He's doing all the right things. And so I'm going to stand with the president. The second thing is, I believe that our immigration and national security issues are paramount to our country right now. We've got to secure the border. We've got to build a wall. And we've got to put a stop to illegal immigration, to the flood of illegal immigrants across our border. And I just absolutely believe in building not only a physical wall, but a legal wall. And the legal wall I would build is that if you come to our country illegally or you stay here illegally, you will never be a citizen. There will be an absolute ban on ever allowing you to become a citizen or having a pathway to citizenship. That's the only way we're going to stop the flood of illegal immigrants coming into the country. Because right now, there's always the promise that at some point you will become a citizen if you just wait it out. So I would say those are two very big issues. I guess the third for me is we've got to do something about the inner cities of our Commonwealth. I think Tim Kaine has spent 30 years in public life and done absolutely nothing. And I have a plan for dealing with the problems of the inner city based on private sector initiatives. And something's got to be done to deal with the drugs, the violence, the family dysfunction, the rampant poverty, the terrible educational quality that's available to most of these kids who live in the inner city. I've got a plan for dealing with that, and Tim Kaine does not.
What's that plan, and why is it different than some of the maybe similarly situated places in more rural areas of the state?
Well, I think my plan works for rural areas too, and basically my plan is universal parental choice in education, that you open up the educational process and allow parents to start shopping around for the best education for their children and making their own choices as opposed to being forced by the system to go to schools that don't educate children. That we have 88 non-accredited schools in Virginia. I mean, and that to me is criminal. We've got literally tens of thousands of children going to schools that we ourselves as a state do not find to be providing an adequate education, yet they're stuck in them. So my proposal as a U.S. senator, because obviously I can't impact state law, but my proposal would be a tax credit for any parent or any person who helps a child from a poor urban or rural area to go to a better quality school and to get a tax credit for the payment of that child's tuition and fees.
Talked about Senator Kaine, but in the primary against Delegate Freitas and Chairman Stewart, what makes you different from them as voters are deciding which of the three of you to choose from?
Well, I know them both. I like them both, and they're both good people. I don't believe either one of them has any chance whatsoever at beating Tim Kaine, because neither one of them has any chance of winning a sufficient number of black votes to even make it competitive. And if the black vote is allowed to go 9 and 10 to 1 for a Democrat, there's just no hope. And I am the only candidate who grew up in the inner city. My wife grew up in the projects. We understand growing up in poverty and difficult circumstances. We have our own ideas about how to come out of that, how to solve these problems. And so we're going to campaign very, very heavily in the black communities across this Commonwealth. And our goal is to win a minimum of 30% of the black vote and maybe even make history and win the black vote.
You lost a statewide race before. How would you make this time different?
Well, yeah, but I wasn't the only one who lost. The whole ticket lost. And it was a very difficult time for Republicans, including the fact that we had a governor who was in trouble and was absolutely completely sidelined, could not help us raise money, could not help us campaign. It was a very, very tough situation, not to mention the shutdown. But I remind people that I was predicted by the mainstream media to get 20% of the vote. I got nearly 45% of the vote. Nearly a million people voted for me in spite of all the things that were said about me, most of them false. But people came out and voted for me in a very significant number. I raised only a quarter of the money because the lieutenant governor is considered to be the stepchild in the statewide electoral contest, because a lieutenant governor in Virginia really has very little power. So it's the governor and the attorney general who really raise the money, because those positions have lots of patronage associated with them, and they have a lot of power. And the LG only has the power to break a tie in the Senate. In spite of that, in spite of raising only a quarter of what the gubernatorial candidate raised, I got only 1% fewer votes. So I every time I've run, I've done better and better, because as people get to know me and hear me, as opposed to the caricature they get from the mainstream media, they like me. They want to support me. They want to vote for me. I believe, and I am predicting, not only an upset in the primary, but an upset in the general election on November 6th as well.
What made you decide, and when did you decide to run for Senate?
I didn't make the final decision until the fall, and I decided, as I looked at the potential people running, that I would be the better candidate of all of them. I believe that, obviously, that I would have the best chance of defeating Tim Kaine, and that in my view, the Commonwealth of Virginia is at a crossroads. If we don't give people with traditional values a sense of hope and inspiration and encouragement, I think they will begin to sit out the elections and just allow Virginia to go the way of California or Massachusetts and become a deep blue state. I believe we are certainly purplish on the surface, but I think we are deep red underneath. And it just takes a candidate to excite our voters, excite our base, and bring them to the surface, bring them to the polls. And I believe I'm the only candidate in the race who really does that.
So you don't feel like there is, as I've seen some people say, that there's a concern that you or the other two candidates are maybe too far right to win in that purplish state. You feel like that's a positive?
Yeah, I mean, look, think about this. One of the biggest problems we face right now in any place across the country is inner city poverty and racial division. That's not a right wing or left wing issue. That's a human issue. I'm a pastor. I think there's a need for healing. And I think people are looking for someone who can bring folks together. I don't think people want to be at each other's throats. I don't think they want to be divided. But I think there are forces that want us to be divided. I'm a force for healing and a force for bringing people together. And I think that as people see that, I think they're going to choose unity over division. And I'm the candidate of unity.
But you don't, I mean, I guess when you're talking about winning the black vote, you don't feel like that's you having the only opportunity as opposed to the other two. You don't feel like that's raising a similar kind of a racial issue?
Well, the fact, no, it has nothing. It has, let's put it this way. If you have cancer and you refuse to talk about it, then that's your stupidity for not being willing to address it. I hate the idea that race plays such an important role in our politics, but the left has created this because everything is racial today. They've turned everything into a racial issue. Well, you can't heal that cancer without addressing it. And the fact of the matter is that the left has labeled Republicans a bunch of racists. That's what they do in every election. So I'm not bringing it up or making it an issue. I'm addressing the issue that the left has created. And look, here's the reality. I'm a different kind of Republican, not just because of the color of my skin, but because of my unique background. I mean, I grew up in foster care. I grew up in poverty. My wife grew up in the projects. In other words, we're not just people who've been helicoptered in by some Republican establishment forces to be the faces of the Republican Party. We've come through poverty and hardship and difficulty. And so on that basis, I can talk to people about these issues and provide them alternative solutions without it feeling like, oh, here's another person coming in telling us what we need to do. I'm telling people what my wife and I have done, what my church is doing, what we are doing to help people, and how we believe these solutions can help everybody who will put them to work. So it's not just racial, but to the extent that it is, it's the left that has created this situation, and you'd be a fool not to acknowledge that and address it.
Was there anything else, specific issues you wanted to bring up? I've talked to a couple of the other candidates about transportation. I don't know if you have anything, or infrastructure, or anything like that.
I think we've covered it. I think the only thing I would say in addition is that as part of my push for unity, I've been making this statement all over the Commonwealth. I'm not an African-American. I'm an American. And I say that not because I have any shame for my background at all. I'm quite grateful for my background, but because we've got to begin to think of ourselves as Americans first and as Virginians first if we're going to have any kind of future for our children and grandchildren.